Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Something at Top Advisor that we think is very, very important is to share the internal research that we do and also kind of show you under the hood. Make it so that you can see what we do behind the scenes. And today, we're going to be interviewing Jessica Jackson. Now, Jessica happens to be one of our social media specialists and our copy editor here at Top Advisor Marketing. And we have a saying, and I've said this before on the podcast, it's kind of a mantra. It's called pleasing the algorithm. And we had Julia Ritchie on a little while ago, and she talked about a lot of the social media updates. But what Jessica's going to talk about today is how we at Top Advisor Marketing and the research that she's specifically done on making sure that we're staying relevant and also up to date on what's going on with the algorithmic changes so that we can do the best job for our clients. And by listening to this podcast, you're going to be doing it for yourself. So Jessica, welcome to the show.
Yay, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's talk about what pleasing the algorithm means. If you wouldn't mind, why don't you define that for our audience?
Yes, I know we say it all the time, but it's good to define it. So when we're pleasing the algorithm, it means that we're doing everything we can to give our content on social media its best chance at being seen.
Now, this is like everybody's goal, right, Jess? I mean, this is what everybody wants. How do we do? I mean, what is the foundation of pleasing the algorithm?
Right. So the foundation would be, well, first understanding what changes have occurred with the algorithm and what kind of content is the algorithm looking for?
Okay.
You know, how do I make it work for me?
And we've talked about organic content and the importance of organic content. Do you mind enlightening us on that, please?
Oh, for sure. So organic content is any content that you're not paying to promote. So it's not a paid ad. It's not a boosted ad. In other words, you're not paying the Facebook algorithm to show that content to certain people. With organic content, you're at the mercy of the Facebook algorithm.
Now, that's an interesting definition because I don't think that Kirk and I, and even some of the guests that we've had on, have defined organic content that way, Jess. I think we have defined it more as original content that's created by you. Can you tell us kind of what the difference might be if organic content, what happens if I'm sharing somebody else's content? What does the algorithm say about that?
Well, it depends on what that content is that you're sharing. And maybe we can get into that a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on if it's a link or a self-contained post with just text. But I think they're kind of synonymous, like organic content is your original content.
Okay.
Without getting too technical, a paid ad could be your original content. Like if original is something that you've created, then it's kind of all your original content.
Well, so let's dive into that just a little bit deeper. And we can get as technical as we want to on this podcast, because I think people who are clicking on this are hopefully going to realize that, you know, we do dive pretty deeply into this. So if I've created original organic content, but I'm still paying for it, the algorithm does not prefer that. Is that correct?
So are you asking about a paid ad?
Yeah. So I'm kind of throwing both of those in the mix there. That's
The algorithm loves for us to pay for ads. You know, that's how Facebook makes its money.
Sure. Sure.
So I wouldn't say that the algorithm doesn't like it. It's just kind of a different game. You're paying the algorithm to carry out very specific objectives for you.
Right.
And then when you're posting this organic or, you know, you call it original content, where was I going with that? The Facebook algorithm is going to, I guess, serve it. It's going to show it to people in a way that's good for Facebook, you know, that it believes will keep people on Facebook.
So let's break that down. Okay. Facebook has changed some of their algorithms. What are the two major things that we're paying attention to at Top Advisor Marketing?
Right. Okay. So the Facebook algorithm, Facebook's told us earlier this year that it's going to show posts. So I'm talking about the Facebook news feed.
Okay.
The algorithm will show more posts from Facebook friends. So think about your family, your colleague, your, you know, your actual friends, mm-hmm. and less posts from business pages.
Why do you think that is, Jess? What was their motivation behind that?
Well, the way they framed it, and this is from Mark Zuckerberg, was that they want to create meaningful experiences for people on Facebook. I think reading in between the lines is that they don't want people to become fatigued by ads and for Facebook to lose maybe the feeling, I don't know, the feeling it had when it first came out. Yeah. They want to keep it at its core, where people are just talking to each other.
And conversations are the key, right? That's what Facebook really wants to highlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What else is, what is the second main point for these changes in the Facebook algorithm?
Right. Okay. So tied into that first part is the algorithm is only going to show people the content that it believes is relevant and meaningful to them.
Oh.
So what that means is the algorithm's job is to show people content that they want to see, and they use a word called or a term called engagement to measure that.
Okay, so what do they mean by engagement?
Yeah, in this context, engagement refers to actions that people take on your social media post. So that would be a like, a share, a comment, a click. So if I'm on Facebook and I like post by a financial planner's business page, the algorithm is going to say, oh, okay, she likes seeing this content. I'm going to keep showing her more content because I want to keep her on Facebook as long as possible.
Now, you use a great term, and I absolutely love this, which is engagement bait. Let's dive into that, will you?
Yes. Okay. So this Facebook kicked this into high gear last December, where they said if you use engagement bait in your posts, the algorithm is going to demote your posts. We're going to show your posts to less people. So engagement bait, an example of that would be, you know, say you post a photo of a dog and all the copy says is like if you prefer cats over dogs.
Mm.
Or if you post a link and say it's about student debt or, you know, saving money mm-hmm. for students, and all you write as the copy is share this with a friend who has a student loan.
Mm.
So, you know, Facebook says that this isn't meaningful. You know, and I agree. It's really soliciting, like it's asking for engagement just for the sake of engagement.
Yeah.
And even, you know, I put call to and engagement bait and call to actions are two different things.
Mm.
Like when I'm posting for clients and I'll say, you know, share this with, as an example, I use share this with a friend who has a student loan. I might put a call to action like that, but that wouldn't be all I would say. I would define the article or from on behalf of the advisor, say why he or she thought it was meaningful and relevant, and then share this with someone who would find it helpful.
I the things that drive me crazy is I can't, or I bet you this post won't get one share or one like, or, you know, that stuff just, that drives me crazy.
No. Oh, I remember that. And it would be like a dog sitting in
a
shelter.
That's right.
And just using emotions to try to get engagement.
Yeah. And so that's engagement bait. Now, what happens if I'm soliciting engagement? Like, for instance, I do this when I travel, Jess. I'll reach out and say, hey, I'm in St. Louis. Can anybody make any recommendations on fun stuff to do? Now, is that still considered engagement bait? Because I am really just trying to get people to respond. But I think my intention is different.
That's such a good question. That is not engagement bait.
Okay.
You're asking people for recommendations. So in a way, you're asking them to comment, but it's for a purpose.
Hmm.
You're doing, and by posting something like that, really you're doing what Facebook wants you to do. You're interacting, you're starting conversations. So that's perfect.
Isn't that unbelievably amazing that Facebook can write an algorithm that understands the difference in intention? Jessica, that stuff just absolutely blows me away. Now, the goal of this podcast and the goal of us talking about pleasing the algorithm all the time has to do with what can advisors do to make their posts be as successful as possible. So let's dive into that, okay?
Absolutely. And just to extend on that, you know, anyone who posts on Facebook for their business page, it's like, you know, we work hard.
Yeah, totally.
So of course we want to do everything we can to get the most visibility possible.
Right. So how do we do that?
So, yeah, my biggest recommendation is to use a variety of post types.
Okay.
So the first part of that, that's I think really a big key here is to realize that posts that include aren't going to be shown to as many people by the algorithm as self-contained post. When I say self-contained post, I really just mean that doesn't include a link. It could be a graphic, it could be a photo, it could be just text.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason for that is, as I said earlier, Facebook wants to keep people on Facebook. It doesn't really want people clicking on links and taking off. So that's why they're going to show links to less people for this organic content.
That makes a lot of sense. One of the statistics I used to say in speeches all the time was one out of every 8 minutes spent online is spent on Facebook. I wonder how much that's changed. I wonder if that's gone down.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the different kinds of posts. So let's talk about pictures. We have some great success stories. Would you mind sharing some of the success stories that we've had when you have posted pictures on behalf of advisors using our social media program?
Yes. Okay. So I think anyone who knows anyone who uses Facebook knows that people love seeing photos, and they're likely to do well. So recently I posted a photo of my client's oldest son graduating from university. It's a family photo, and it just blew up. People loved it, as in people were commenting, congratulating the advisor, and commenting on his family, like, you know, really positively. And since this advisor has me helping him, I responded to every one of those comments,
nice,
saying thank you and making them personal. And I've heard you refer to this, Matt, as the ripple effect.
Yes.
When you keep engaging on a post, like when you comment back, the algorithm is going to keep shooting that post into people's news feeds. Because remember, the algorithm loves that interaction. It wants people having conversations. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
the ripple effect stuff. And in fact, that just happened again with another client, when a different client, and you had shared some pictures of his family in an event or something like that. And his son, they kept calling him, you know, little advisor. I'm not going to use his name. You know, wow, he looks so much like his dad. And then you guys went back in and said, oh, you know, thank you so much. And that is what a lot of advisors, Jessica, are afraid of. They're afraid of, from a compliance standpoint, commenting back by saying things like thank you. And what we have found is compliance departments don't have a problem as long as it's personal, specific, and not obviously product centered, right?
Right.
Now, you, something that you do, and we've talked a lot about, especially with my social media and what we do at Top Advisor Marketing, but it works incredibly well with the advisors that you've implemented this in, which you call it the Facebook fun. Let's talk about what those are, because these get huge engagement and puts the advisor in a little different light, because they're not always talking about finance.
Right. Okay. So joining in on some of the Facebook fun, I define that by maybe posting about some of the national days, like National Pet Days, National Sibling Day, Insurance Day. It could be sharing a video that's not necessarily your video, but one that's doing really well on Facebook right now and piggybacking on some of its virality, but in the copy relating it somehow to your business philosophy. I mean, it really depends on what the video is, but there are lots of opportunities there.
My the coffee place that I go to has what it on Facebook and Instagram, they call it Tail Wagon Tuesday. And every Tuesday they try to highlight another dog that goes through the drive-through. And of course, you know, my dog has been on there a whole bunch because I go there far and away too much, but it's unbelievable how much interaction. And when one of our clients is a big Dave Grohl fan from Foo Fighters, and he has posted stuff that Dave Grohl has said, And that stuff has gotten a good amount of traction, really, because it's so different than what he usually posts that it gets people's attention. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was going to say, and you know why people are really drawn to those posts? Because people say, oh, me too.
Yes.
Like, I tell my clients, these are points of relating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, posting something about Dave Grohl and posting a picture of your dog on National Pet Day, mm-hmm. or your son graduating, you know, these are similar. Some of them are milestones or just similar activities that your clients or potential clients enjoy as well. And it humanizes the advisor. It gives them three dimension.
And we want that. And that's what Facebook is, and even Facebook Business is supposed to be about. It's to show not only that you're competent, but it also should show some sort of interpersonal connection that will allow people, because you said it, I mean, people like to do business with people they have things in common with. But if you never share what you have in common with, or that you do, then people will never know. We've got a client who actually didn't end up hiring us because he ended up doing almost everything on his own. But he works with C-level endurance athletes. And almost everything he posts on social media has to do with training. And he does exactly, Jessica, what you said. And he said that he credits that to one of our podcasts, which is super cool, that he does bring that back around to the discipline of having a good financial plan, sticking to the financial plan, but he doesn't do it every time. Sometimes it's just a workout tip. Now, you said earlier that graphics are super powerful, but how do we do that? Like, is it just a quick selfie photo? I mean, let's talk about graphics. How do you use pictures? Is there a tool that people can use to make quote graphics, or because we do this for our clients and you're really good at it. Would you mind sharing?
Oh, of course. Okay. So for some of our clients, I post a graphic every week and it will have a quote, not necessarily by a public figure, but it'll be a branded quote. So a philosophy that's really close to the heart of what they do for their clients. And I create these graphics on a program called Canva. It's a free web-based graphic design tool. It's just a drag and drop format. Maybe we could put a link to it in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use Canva to create graphics that are sized for any social media network, including Facebook. And what I like about Canva is that they have pre-made layouts. Oh. You know, I'm not a graphic designer, mm-hmm. so I appreciate this feature. So if you click on, say you want to make a Facebook design, they'll show you tons of layouts that it's hard without actually seeing it. But, you know, it could say Happy National Pet Day and it'll show a photo of a dog. It'll mm-hmm. have text and then you can customize that to make it your own. You can add your logo, your brand colors. It's pretty easy that way.
And we have one of our friends of Top Advisor Marketing who is exceptional at this. Do you mind sharing?
Oh, Cheryl Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She posts Pinterest tips every day. And again, this is a self-contained post. It's not linking anywhere. Mm-hmm. She has her graphic, which is always the same. I hope I'm not getting this wrong, but it'll say something like Pinterest tip and day 13. And then in the copy, she'll write a tip. But they're tips that aren't, for me, they're not even self-explanatory. It's like, oh my gosh, that was really helpful. Like, I feel like I've subscribed to something,
nice.
But it's just being delivered to me every day.
Well, and Cheryl has had unbelievable social media success with her Women in Finance group. And talk about pleasing the algorithm, everybody. So Cheryl is a social media expert. She runs a strictly a female in finance Facebook group that now is at 1,300 people. She thought she was going to get like 300-400. And it's massive engagement. She posts these tips. It's really, really fantastic. She is one of those. I mean, she's been doing social media forever, and she truly is an expert. If you haven't followed Cheryl, make sure you do, because you can see how social media is done right. I mean, of course, you should probably follow us too, but Cheryl's good at it too. Now, let's talk about text only. For some reason, my LinkedIn, when I do text only, it gets huge engagement. But when I do pictures, not so much. Is mm-hmm. LinkedIn fundamentally different, or help me with that?
Yes. So, I mean, the LinkedIn algorithm is kind of a different topic altogether. But the LinkedIn algorithm and Facebook algorithms are different as far as what they like to show people. Mm-hmm. So LinkedIn really likes those text-only posts. Mm-hmm. And Facebook, you know, Facebook loves videos, it loves photos, but I would say it also likes text-only posts. But it depends on the reaction and the engagement from your audience.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can give an example.
Okay.
Okay. So sometimes what I do for my clients, they all podcast. So I'll go through their transcript and I'll look for any stories they shared, any philosophies, metaphors, and I'm looking for something that could be a short or a long form post. Hmm. One of my clients used to have a severe stuttering issue. Mm-hmm. And it's still there a little bit, but it really affected him during childhood. And he talked about this during one of your podcast episodes with him. Mm-hmm. So I grabbed that story out of the transcript, cleaned it up for social media, posted it on his business page, and people loved it.
Yeah.
You know, they loved that. It was a story. It was inspiring. And imagine as a financial planner being able to inspire your clients.
Oh my gosh, huh? That's amazing.
Yeah, and not just during your one-on-one appointments, but, you know, mm-hmm. beyond your walls, beyond your office.
I remember that podcast very, very clearly. He just really humanized himself, right? You know, financial advisors are generally so strong at putting on airs and airs of success, and they don't really want to show their warts or their scars. But the advisors that we work with who do, it's such a different feeling on social mm-hmm. media. Yeah. Okay. Now, we have another one of your clients who has been interviewing nonprofit organizations and other centers of influence on his podcast. Can you talk about how you use the tagging feature in order to increase the virality or the exposure of the post?
Okay. So I make sure to always tag this podcast guest. We call them centers of influences. I make sure I always tag that person on Facebook. And it's usually with Facebook, it's usually that I'm tagging their business Facebook page okay. versus LinkedIn, where I might be, you know, tagging the actual person. Mm-hmm. But I do everything I can to make sure that that business page of the center of influence, that they'll be notified when that post is up, and then they can share it with their network.
Now, does it show up on their page too if they're tagged?
It won't show up on their page unless you share it to their page.
Okay, good, good, mm-hmm. good. Okay. Timing. Now, one of the things that we sell in our social media program that you're one of the key components of is not only do we know what to share and how to share, but we also know when to share. Would you mind sharing some of our pleasing the algorithm aspects on optimal times to share?
Of course. So consistently, the research says for Facebook that there's a 1 to 3 p.m. window that's ideal. Hmm. And with our clients, I don't find it's that time frame. I find it's 11 a.m.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. So I find that out by going onto the Facebook business page as an admin mm-hmm. and looking at the insights, looking at the post tab along the side, and then you can go along the top and click to see when your fans are online.
Wow.
And then that will tell you what times they're most often online and what days of the week. So what days of the week are really popular for them.
Holy Moses. I did not know that. That must be something that's happened since I dove super deep into that. I didn't know that you would know when you're, well, I guess that makes sense. That's just
pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Holy.
Now I'll just make note that if you're new to Facebook, so if you just start your business page, it's going to take a few months for Facebook to accrue the data. Mm-hmm. So it'll take a little while to know when your fans are online. So maybe before then you shoot for the 11 a.m. That's working for me. Or you do the 1 to 3 p.m.
Okay.
And then you check back
okay. And
see, okay, what is the data? What are the insights showing me about when my audience is online? And then you go from there.
Excuse me. We focus very much on podcasting. One, because it's very cost effective. Two, advisors talk for a living. And three, they don't have to be camera ready. but video is still wicked powerful. Now, for all of our listeners, we are going to be rolling out a video component of Top Advisor Marketing social media, probably end of fourth quarter, beginning of 2019, because we want to make sure that we can do what needs to be done. So, Jessica, let's talk about video and talk about really what makes video work.
Right. So one key, it has to do with upload, how you upload your video. So when you take a video, you want to make sure you upload it natively through Facebook. And what I mean by that is don't download your video to YouTube and then share that link.
Oh.
Yeah. Facebook and YouTube, they compete as video players.
Yeah.
So Facebook has never given a lot of visibility to YouTube links. But a more recent change is now Facebook isn't even embedding YouTube videos. So, you know, they just show up as a link.
Whoa.
They're really not appealing.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a penalty there to posting a YouTube link. So always, always upload it through Facebook.
How long do these videos need to be?
You know, I would say 2 minutes or less.
Wow. That's not a lot of time.
People don't have a long attention span on Facebook.
Hmm.
Yeah.
When I'm taking a break, and one of the things that I do from a mental break perspective is I go on YouTube and I watch funny videos, and I make most of my decisions by how long the video is. But 2 minutes, wow, so that needs to be wicked organized, right? You really need to make sure that you have that planned and prepared. And so what should be in the video? So we got the time frame. What should they be including?
Well, we're talking about advisors. I would say that the videos should be practical, and you should be giving your listener or your watchers some keys that they can execute right away.
Oh.
So sometimes I say practical and actionable.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. As a formula.
So what's the difference between sharing a video and Facebook Live?
So sharing a video. Okay. So when you share a video, you've recorded it, however, like probably on your phone, and then you've uploaded it afterwards.
Okay.
Now, with a Facebook Live, you're broadcasting live. So it's if you go onto Facebook and go to make a post, there will be a little icon. I think it looks like a little person. And you can just start shooting a video right then and there, and you can shoot it for up to 4 hours.
Whoa, 4 hours.
I know. And another big difference, the lives versus the other videos, is that people like Facebook users can comment during your video. So it's meant to be interactive. And that's why the algorithm loves Facebook Lives, because it drives conversations.
I have an advisor in Oregon who live streams his radio show every Tuesday. And I'm an admin on his page. And it's amazing to see, because you can see when people comment, right? Like he says something and it's poignant, right? Or it's actionable and practical, and people will comment, and you know the timestamp on when they comment on it. How awesome is that?
I know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Now, can they do that though? Let's talk about compliance. You deal with compliance. That's part of what we do, everybody. We make sure that we don't post anything until it's been approved by your compliance department. What about video? What about Facebook Live? What has been your experience, Jessica?
Right. So I always tell the advisors to check with compliance first, especially with the live videos in particular. The policies for those are not spelled out in the compliance regulations. So it depends on your compliance officer's interpretation, whether or not they're considered a public appearance or an electronic interactive forum. So there's different rules that apply to each. Your compliance officer might say, okay, you could do Facebook Lives, but they cannot be finance related.
Ooh.
Or they can be finance related, but you can't discuss products.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the compliance regulations have been very, very nebulous on this, right? They haven't expressed, they haven't been totally clear on this. It's not new. But here's the deal, everybody, and I'm going to hyper simplify this. just don't say stuff you know you're not supposed to say. I mean, come on. It's, you know, things don't have to be entirely pre-scripted most of the time. You know, just don't talk about product. Don't give advice directly. I mean, it's really not that difficult. Now, there are compliance departments, Jessica, that we've worked with for many, many years who just forbode this. I mean, it's just, you cannot do this at all. Heck, we just talked to a large, large broker dealer. They still won't let their advisors use Twitter.
Oh,
do you flip and believe that? Because the social media guidelines from FINRA and the SEC expressly say that Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook are just viewed in the same way. All right. What else do we need to know? Do our listeners need to know about pleasing the algorithm?
Well, I want to say one more thing about the Facebook Live.
Beautiful.
That even if your compliance officer says they cannot be finance related, do them. You know, don't say, well, that's it for me. I'm not going to do them. No, do lives, mm-hmm. but just make them not about money. Mm-hmm. You know, give a tour of your office.
Oh.
Show, you know, shoot a live during a birthday party where you're bringing out a cake for your colleague. Mm. Show bring your kids to work day. There are just infinite possibilities. And I don't want our advisors to put the brakes on mm-hmm. if it can't be finance related. Because that might actually be a good thing, you know? To create videos that aren't related to finances.
Once again, making an advisor human. All right, so let's wrap up today's podcast. What are your final thoughts on pleasing the algorithm?
Yeah, my final thoughts are to find balance, because we need to post links sometimes. Like for our clients, I have some major goals. You know, I want to direct people to their podcast. I mm-hmm. want to direct people to their website, but I also want to get them the most visibility, you know, as I can. So it's all about playing to both sides. Post some links, but also make sure you're posting those self-contained posts. Mm-hmm. So graphics, photos, or text only.
Wonderful. Jessica, thank you so much for your thought leadership today. We really, really appreciate what you do for us at Top Advisor Marketing and also what you do for our clients.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So this was Jessica Jackson, one of our social media specialists and copy editors at Top Advisor Marketing. This is what we do. We absolutely nerd out on this stuff. This is about a level 4 on the nerd scale, but we have a social media meeting every week. We hit 10 to 11 on the nerd scale on social media because we're so passionate about it. We want to make sure that we're doing a great job for our clients, making sure we're following the guidelines of what Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter want, but especially what's also going to fly within the eyes of compliance. If you need assistance with social media, why don't you outsource it to somebody who lives and breathes? I mean, Jessica, besides our copy editing, this is what she does all day. We've got another lady who was on our podcast a little while ago, Julie Ritchie. That's what she does 8 hours a day. I mean, she is doing social media for people. They all have their master's degrees in digital journalism and communications, which is magnificent because they are on the cutting edge of everything that is working. Plus, they're also great at writing and editing. So if you're sitting back and saying, gosh, you know, this was great information, but I still can't do it, why don't you give us a call? Why don't you work with somebody like Jessica or Julia or any of us here at Top Advisor Marketing? We can help you with your social media because that's what we do. And we always want to please the algorithm. Thank you very much. And if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. And we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.